From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Thursday, July 7th, 2016. We are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon once again. On today's show, we have a ton to talk about, including the Detroit Tigers finally snapping that 11-game losing streak against the Cleveland Indians. They did so in a pretty big way yesterday afternoon. We'll chat about that. We will also have Throwback Thursday on tap for you as we take a look at what has happened on this particular date in sports history. Also, former Michigan State big man, now turned NBA player for the Memphis Grizzlies, Deontay Davis. He was one and done here for Tom Izzo's team. He has a shocking revelation when it comes to an injury that he has suffered early in summer league play. So what does this mean for Deontay Davis moving forward? We will talk about that. Also, Calvin Megatron Johnson finally conducted an interview since announcing that he was kaput with the game of football. And he talks about his physical struggles since his retirement, which of course led to that eventual decision. And we will have a compelling interview with a leader here on the campus of Michigan State University. His name is Darius Gregory. He is the president of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the Zeta Delta chapter. Darius is going to join us live in studio to talk about the two heinous incidences that we have seen in the last 2 days concerning the deaths of two African Americans at the hands of law enforcement. You don't want to miss that chat, folks. That and so much more live here on our airwaves. Our phone lines are open. We, of course, will take your calls throughout this entire hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we start this thing. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Well, folks, that did not take long. This morning, the Detroit News reported that the football series between Notre Dame and Michigan will resume with a home-and-home series in 2018 and 2019. The 2018 game will be the season opener at South Bend on September 1st, with the 2019 game taking place out in Ann Arbor on October 26th. Now, the move for Michigan comes at the expense of the Arkansas Razorbacks, who had a two-game series with the Wolverines in 2018-19. That is now canceled to accommodate the Notre Dame series. A Big Ten home game for the Wolverines against Rutgers has also been rescheduled from October 26th of 2019 to September 28th. Nico Collins, the four-star receiver from Pinson, Alabama, who visited U of M the weekend of June 18th, confirmed today that Michigan is his leader. His next step is planning to visit Clemson and possibly LSU as soon as his high school Clay Chalkville finishes its summer 7-on-7 workouts, now ranked number one in Alabama on the 247 Sports Composite. Collins comes to the event like really around the Elite 11, which is quarterback focused. So we'll see how he performs out there. But right now, he is the top recruit in Alabama. And you better believe Nick Saban is also after this stout young man. So we'll see how that pans out. Meanwhile, for the Michigan State football team, MSU landed a top tight end from the class of 2017 today when Cincinnati Archbishop Moeller's Matt Dotson committed to the Spartans. Dotson, 6'5", 235 pounds, announced his commitment in a video posted by Bleacher Report's Twitter account earlier today. Dotson is at the Opening, which is a competition for high school football recruits in Oregon. Dotson is the number 9 ranked tight end for the class of 2017 and the number 290th player overall. He also held offers from Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State. That marks 14 commitments for Mark D'Antonio's team. Memphis Grizzlies rookie center Deonte Davis, also former Michigan State big man hoop star, has plantar fasciitis in his left foot and is expected to miss the team's first three summer league games in Las Vegas. The Grizzlies announced Davis's injury on Wednesday. They said Davis hurt his foot while participating in individual workouts out in Memphis. Davis will be re-evaluated daily. We'll have more on that story in just a second. Also, Calvin Megatron Johnson. He recently sat down with ESPN to discuss his decision to retire, and he'll provide some explanation on the E60 interview, which airs tonight at 10 p.m. The interview was Johnson's first tell-all with a national outlet, as he's been mostly quiet since officially announcing his retirement in March. He also just recently got married as well. The only other tease in the video is of a question asking Johnson whether he retired because he doesn't want to play football or because he can't. Quote, "I've got a lot of miles on my legs. I've got a lot of other things I want to do," end quote. Also, Johnson alludes to struggles with waking up in the morning due to injuries he suffered throughout the duration of his football career. We'll have more on that story also. How about those Tigers, huh? The Detroit Tigers snapped the 11-game losing streak yesterday with a 12-2 win over the Tribe yesterday. That's right, over the Cleveland Indians. The win was the first in 12 games this season against the first-place Indians, whose 11-game streak against Detroit was their longest in-season run against one team since going 12-0 against the Tigers back in 1996. The loss for Cleveland also ended a 13-game win streak at home. Nick Castellanos went 3-for-5 with, count 'em, 5 RBIs. Wow. And Cameron Maben each launched a home run. Miguel Cabrera delivered a key hit, and Indians right-hander Josh Tomlin was charged with 8 runs, 5 earned, in an uncharacteristically short outing. The starter lasted only 4 2/3 innings, in which he scattered 7 hits, including the pair of homers. In NBA news, free agent Dwayne Wade has committed to signing with the Chicago Bulls. Quote, "This was not an easy decision, but I feel I have made the right choice." That's what Wade said in a letter released to the Associated Press on Wednesday. After spending his entire career with the Miami Heat, Wade has agreed to sign a 2-year deal worth $47 million with the Bulls. Wade also had a 2-year, $40 million deal on the table from the Miami Heat. Heat owner Mickey Arison and Pat Riley both released statements thanking Wade for his time with the organization. Interim UFC lightweight heavyweight champion, yeah, John Jones, has been pulled, I kid you not, from the main title unification event against Daniel Cormier at UFC 200 this Saturday. This happened after the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency informed Jones of a potential doping violation yesterday. Jones tested positive for a banned substance in an out-of-competition sample taken on June 16th by the USA Doping Agency, said Jeff Nowitzki, UFC's Vice President of Athlete Health and Performance. USADA administers UFC's anti-drug policy. And last but not least, the Detroit Pistons have signed San Antonio Spurs restricted free agent Boban Marjanovic, I'm probably saying that totally wrong, to a 3-year deal worth $21 million. League sources reported that to ESPN's Mark Stein. The deal isn't done just yet, though. San Antonio will have 3 days to match the offer as soon as the deal passes through the league office. If they do, he will return to the Spurs. So the 27-year-old Serbian is 7'3". I kid you not. That's pretty tall. And will add some needed front court depth to the Pistons. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show.
He's to the wall, and that ball is gone. right now. They're going to knock Tomlin out of this game.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I am your host, Al Martin. The Tigers finally did it, folks. They snapped an 11-game losing streak against the Cleveland Indians. The Cleveland Indians have completely just owned the Detroit Tigers this season. But yesterday was quite the opposite. Finally, the Tigers get a dub, as I mentioned in the headliners. They top the Indians in a 12-2 win over the Tribe. If they would have lost that game, and I mentioned this on yesterday's show, it would have been a 12-game losing streak, and that would have tied the Tigers' losing streak against the Indians, which occurred back in 1996, where the Tigers went 0-12 to start against the Tribe. So, the loss for Cleveland also ended a 13-game win streak at home for them. So, again, it's just one game. Just one game. You know, there are many Tigers fans out there. As I was reading the various blogs out there yesterday and listening to a little sports talk radio while I was in mid-Michigan, there are a lot of Tigers fans that think this could be a turnaround. But, again, you can't get too high, can't get too low with the dub like this, especially considering the fact that you went 0-11 against the Indians leading up to yesterday afternoon's win. For the Tigers, right-hander, Michael Fulmer. Man, has he been fun to watch this year or what? He is now 9-2 on the year with a 2.11 ERA. Wow. Found the win column for the eighth time in his past nine decisions. Cleveland was able, though, to score two runs, one earned off of Fulmer, who allowed a sacrifice fly each to Lonnie Chisenhall in the second inning and Francisco Lindor in the third. With his six-inning effort, Fulmer now has a .78 ERA in his past nine turns for the Tigers. All of them with one earned run or fewer allowed. That's the longest such in franchise history. What this young man is doing is absolutely mind-boggling right now. I mean, you can pretty much bet. And anytime you have Michael Fulmer going to the mound, you got a pretty good shot at winning. Simple as that. If you get good run support with Fulmer on the mound, gosh, the Tigers are scary. The Tigers are scary when he's out there, folks. And, you know, Cameron Maben, he got the party started for the Tigers yesterday with a two-run homer. He has been absolutely lights out. So we'll see. As you look at the standings, of course, the Detroit Tigers are chasing the Cleveland Indians. Everybody's chasing the Cleveland Indians right now in the American League Central. The Tigers, with that dub yesterday, they cut that lead, that Cleveland Indians lead in the division, to 6.5 games. The Tigers sit at 45-40. You have the White Sox at 44-41, so they're nipping at the heels of the Tigers right now. And then you have the Royals at 43-41. So, again, you can't get too high, can't get too low, but from a confidence standpoint, this was huge. Ian Kinsler said it best yesterday, quote, when he went, Ian Kinsler, if you look at his stats, he went 3-for-4. And, you know, he had some candid comments about yesterday saying, hey, this is huge right here for us. Quote, we've been trailing these guys a bunch. It just felt like, you know, we needed to take a breath and just start over, end quote. So Kinsler was fantastic. They just have to get consistent starting pitching that matches with, of course, run support. And that's exactly what happened for this team. So you got to feel better if you are a Detroit Tigers fan. And who knows how the season will pan out. You know, as we approach the All-Star break, I do believe, and I stand by this statement, I do believe that they are going to make a move to help that starting pitching rotation. as the trade deadline looms near the end of this month. And we'll see what happens. I think they're going to add, again, they're not giving up any big names. Alavila has already let that be known. But they're going to add at least one more piece. I can tell you that much, folks. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As aforementioned, we will have a heavy interview later on today's Current Sports. We will be inviting a fraternity brother of mine by the name of Darius Gregory. He is the president of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the Zeta Delta chapter. Darius is going to join me in studio, and we are going to go off the beaten path of usual sports talk radio here on WKAR AM 870. We pride ourselves in going beyond the X's and O's, and with the platform that I've been given here at WKAR, whenever I feel as though I see a topic and I see an unsettling situation that needs to be addressed and talked about, I'm blessed to have the platform to do that here with this show. So today, we will invite Darius Gregory to Current Sports to talk about the killings of Alton Sterling and most recently, Philando Castile. Back-to-back days, back-to-back unjust killings of African-American males at the hands of law enforcement. There will be an event taking place tonight at 10 p.m. on the campus of Michigan State University, put on by the brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated at The Rock to pay homage and to address those killings. And Darius will join me in studio to talk about that. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on the situation that happens far too often, has been going on far too often here in America. I'm going to reserve my thoughts for when Darius enters the studio, but I won't tell you to do that. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. It will be a heavy interview, so I will throw that caution out there, okay? Until then, I want to talk Deontay Davis for a second. Deontay Davis went one and done here at the Michigan State men's basketball program. And we all know about what took place at this year's NBA draft as Deontay Davis, who was a projected top 20 pick, he fell all the way to the second round. He was chosen by the Boston Celtics, but in a trade that sent him from the Celtics to the Memphis Grizzlies. Deontay Davis sat there as 30 names prior to his were called, and at one point he just got so frustrated that he decided to leave the NBA draft floor out in Brooklyn, New York, and go into the hallway. He couldn't take it anymore. And I can only imagine what went through that young man's head as he was sold a pretty good dream of being a top 20 draft pick, sold a dream that didn't come true. With family and friends in the building sitting around him, had to be a bit embarrassing. He was chosen, though, nonetheless, and the Memphis Grizzlies rookie, he was supposed to undergo a bit of a stint out at the Grizzlies Summer League games out in Las Vegas. And now news has reported that Deontay Davis has plantar fasciitis in his left foot and is expected to miss the team's first three Summer League games out in LV. When it comes to this story, I can only feel just sorry for the young man. I think Deontay Davis, if you were a fly on the wall in the house of the Davis household, I'm pretty sure that Davis has made the comment or alluded to him staying at least one more year with Tom Izzo's program. Because let's be real, if you are a second-round pick and you were a one-and-done, you better believe that you wish you had the option to go back to college to pad that draft stock a bit more. And I've been of the opinion that I don't really understand why kids who decide to make that decision and it doesn't pan out the way they want to, why kids who want to go one and done don't have that option of saying, you know what, I messed up, I want to go back to college. Why can't that be done? To each his own, though, when it comes to that topic. So now he has to sit out the first three summer league games out in Las Vegas. This will hinder him as far as trying to compete for a solidified roster spot with the Memphis Grizzlies. And Deontay Davis, when you just evaluate his game, he is a young man who needs some more work when it comes to just trading water in the NBA. We all know that. Deontay Davis had games where you just sat there and your jaw was on the floor. Don't get me wrong. He's an athletic kid who has a knack on the defensive end when it comes to blocking shots. But when it comes to creating his own offense down low, he could be more fundamentally sound. He could develop more of an inside-outside game, if you ask me. There are just things that are a part of Deontay Davis's game that could be honed more. And why the majority out there of people believed, just like myself, that Deontay Davis could have used a few more years, at least one more year, in college. So I feel bad for the young man. I'm rooting for him. I'm certainly rooting for him. And it has to really leave a sour taste in his mouth, considering the fact that when you look at a guy like Denzel Valentine, and how about the situation Denzel Valentine is now currently in? First off, he goes to Chicago with the Bulls right after Derrick Rose leaves, right, to take his talent to the New York Knicks. And now, with Denzel Valentine playing that guard position in the league, he has an incredible mentor in Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade, now formerly of the Miami Heat, Wade decided yesterday that he wanted to return to his hometown, to the Chi, and finish out his NBA career there with Chicago Bulls. So Denzel Valentine will be playing alongside Dwayne Wade. Valentine has been watching Wade since Wade's prime, and now he gets to be on the roster with him. That's a pretty cool situation. Now, I will say this, though. I do believe that when looking at the situation out in Miami now, so what, in the past, what, 3 years, they've lost LeBron James and now Dwayne Wade, who are a part of the big three out in Miami. So Chris Bosh is the only guy left there now. I still believe, though, that there's a lot of talent on that Miami Heat roster, and I think the Miami Heat are going to be a playoff team next year. Call me crazy. I'm just saying. And I think that if Chris Bosh can stay healthy, if he can stay healthy, there are components there that can still put this Miami Heat squad in the top eight in the Eastern Conference, which isn't hard to do because the Eastern Conference is not that great. So I want to invite right now, before we hit our first break, I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, to the show. Isaac, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Al. I'm not sure if you saw a specific Snapchat, but I'm quite pleased that Dwayne Wade is moving. You know very well that I might be the biggest Dwayne Wade hater on this side of the Northern Hemisphere. So, no, I'm really happy to see him go from the heat to the cold. I hope his game continues to deteriorate. No, in all seriousness.
Hold on, let's pause real quick, Isaac, because I don't think a lot of our listeners know that you have a strong dislike for Dwayne Wade. And I don't get it because we've had this conversation multiple times.
We have.
Dwayne Wade, in my opinion, has been a great ambassador for the National Basketball Association. He's never gotten into any off-the-court trouble. No. He's played with passion. He's played, you know, he's been one of the most dynamic guards in the league for quite some time. He's coming off a year in which he was pretty solid. It was a pretty good year for Dwayne Wade.
It wasn't bad. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't bad at all. So I don't understand where the hate, you know, has foundationally grown for Dwayne Wade in your eyes. So I think you need to explain it to our listeners.
Well, and you know where the man crush comes from. It's for Dirk Nowitzki. So when Dirk went down to Dwayne Wade in the 2006 finals, Dirk was my favorite player of all time. Him and Bill Russell and David Robinson, pretty much. I guess I always like the big guys. But anyway, when Dwayne Wade almost single-handedly defeated the Mavericks in 2006, rebounding from a 2-0 deficit, and the way he did it with a lot of flopping, some dirty plays in my opinion, which has continued throughout his career, I just couldn't respect the guy. And Dwayne Wade also actually visited my high school, and credit to him, I was so ashamed when he walked in because I thought, oh no, now I can't hate him quite as much. So I've been waiting for this moment for him to leave the Heat, for me to just cling at something where I can say, oh, he's disloyal. Of course it was the Heat's fault in this deal.
Oh, it was certainly the Heat's fault. This had nothing to do with loyalty, I think.
No, it didn't.
Because I think that Dwayne wanted it to finish his career with Miami. Mm-hmm. Dwayne just wanted to be paid. And the thing is, when you look at this contract for Dwayne Wade, it was reported that Dwayne wanted $2.50, 2 years, $50 million. The Miami Heat offered him 2 years, $40 million. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to, so to speak, break the bank. They didn't want to break the bank on Dwayne Wade, who's on the back end of his NBA career. Now, I don't think that they would have broken the bank with a two-year, $50 million deal. When you look at how the salary cap has grown exponentially for every team in the league today. But at the same time, they had other components on that roster that were filling cap space. So I don't think that they wanted to throw out a lot of money for a Dwayne Wade and maybe give him a quote-unquote Kobe contract. Right. Even though those circumstances are a bit different, because I think that – I don't know if you can compare the Kobe contract to Dwayne Wade asking for 2 years, $50 million, because at the time of Kobe Bryant's contract, you didn't have – these crazy salary cap numbers in the NBA today. So I think they're two different situations when you look at that.
I agree, but I do actually appreciate the general sentiment from the Heat, which is, it sucks. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the last thing you want to see, but you don't pay a player for loyalty. It's driven too many teams into the grave. And Jurgen Klinsmann, the coach of the United States men's national team, actually said that when he chose not to invite Landon Donovan to the World Cup. He said, I want to get caught making a choice just because of what a player has done for the team. Mm-hmm. I want to make my decisions for what a player is going to do for the team. And that makes sense. So, yes, Dwayne Wade, 2 years, $50 million. It's not a terrible deal. But I don't take as much issue with it as some other people do. And I actually think it's a good fit in Chicago. That's Wade's hometown. And you mentioned Denzel Valentine now has plenty of mentors to learn from. He goes into a situation where we might have thought he was starting from day one at a point guard position, maybe slightly out of position from the start, to Rajon Rondo, a weathered veteran who's been through the storm and back, knows how to read the game just about better than anybody in the NBA. Dwayne Wade, somebody who's proven his worth time and time again in Miami.
Jimmy Butler as well.
And then Jimmy Butler. So that guard roster is as deep as any in the NBA now. And Denzel Valentine gets to learn from all of them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good Bulls team next year. They also get Paul Gasol. Paul Gasol left. Paul Gasol is now in San Antonio. There's so many moves being made.
It's hard to track.
And I'm looking like guys like Brian Windhorst on ESPN and Chris Broussard. Those guys get like no sleep during this time of the year, man.
I know.
It's going to be the same thing next season. I mean, because the salary cap is expected to even grow more in the summer of 2017. That's crazy to me.
And what's funny is even the small deals are almost getting more traction in the media than the big ones.
Right.
John Luer, something like that, pops all sorts of eyeballs because it's John Luer getting 4 years, $42 million. Dwayne Wade, 2 years, $50 million. Doesn't seem so large after that. So it's a crazy time of year. Next year, actually, it was just released that the salary cap will be $5 million lower than expected. The reason why that's a big deal is the Golden State Warriors just finagle that salary cap pretty closely to fit in Kevin Durant. I wonder if there are going to be some moves that have to be made to retain all of the star power, if it's possible.
That's interesting. So the cap is actually going to go down $5 million.
So I think it'll still increase, but not in accordance to what was expected.
To the projections. So the projections aren't what they predicted at first. So, okay, that's interesting stuff. All right. Well, again, folks, call in if you want to chime in on the NBA free agency madness. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite live in our studio Darius Gregory, the president of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the Zeta Delta chapter here on the campus of Michigan State University. We will talk about the two just mindless killings of African Americans here in America. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, our phone lines are open. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You also know that you can join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, folks, we are going to go off the beaten path of regular sports talk radio here on the show today and get serious with you. Anger, fear, sadness, emotions that I felt all at once after processing what has taken place here in America these last 2 days. Alton Sterling and Philandro Castile have now become names added to the list of mindless and puzzling deaths at the hands of law enforcement, coded by the glaring overtone of racism toward African Americans. Now, in the case of Sterling, two Baton Rouge, Louisiana police officers had him pinned to the floor, flat on his back. But even as Sterling completely unable to move, one of the police officers yelled, "He's got a gun." Within seconds, an officer shot Sterling. He died of multiple gunshot wounds. In the case of Castile, as you just heard in that promo, protests have erupted not only in Louisiana, but also in Minnesota overnight after Castile was fatally shot by police during a traffic stop due to a busted taillight, of all things, in front of his girlfriend and a child. The incident, which I warn you, what you are about to hear is pretty graphic. The incident was captured in graphic detail by Castile's girlfriend via Facebook.
Stay with me. We got pulled over for a busted taillight in the back. And the police just, he's covered. They killed my man. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket. And he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet. And the officer just shot him in his arm. We're waiting for a back. I will, sir. No worries. I will. He just shot his arm off. We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand out.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone. Please don't tell me that he's gone. Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
Get the female passenger out.
Ma'am, exit the car right now with your hands up. Let me see your hands. Exit now. Keep them up. Keep them up.
Face. Where's my daughter? You got my daughter?
Face away from me and walk backwards.
Oh, boy, heavy stuff there. Again, folks, that was the graphic video, audio of that video, in which the girlfriend of Philandro Castile recorded after Castile was shot during a traffic stop. Right now,
We have live in our studio a dear brother of mine. We are members of the same fraternity. We have Darius Gregory, president of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the Zeta Delta chapter, on the show to talk about a vigil that will be taking place tonight at 10 p.m. at The Rock on the campus of Michigan State University. First off, before we get to that event, first off, Darius, thank you so much for taking some time this afternoon to join us here on Current Sports. How you doing?
Good, man. This is obviously one of the things that we regret to even have to talk about, you know, especially on this type of platform. And it's very, very, very sad that even so still, you know, we still experience a lot of the exact same things. And it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing.
Now, Darius, I want to start by asking you, what was your reaction to hearing first of Alton Sterling and then a day after? Because I couldn't believe it. I woke up today and I went on Twitter and I saw it blow up everywhere that another African-American male, again, by the name of Philandro Castile, he was also shot by law enforcement, and everything was caught in graphic detail on video, similar to Sterling. What has been your reaction to what has taken place in the last 48 hours?
Man, it seems like it's like sheer speechlessness. Honestly, I can't think of what's going on. You know, my biggest thing is just utter confusion. Obviously, I'm angry, I'm infuriated. And then seeing, you know, a lot of, even I woke up this morning as well and seeing the last video with Philandro Castile. And kind of just looking at the comments and the how desensitized a lot of us have become to this is the sick part. And then to hear a lot of refutations, that's really been getting to me. But it seems like we're just in a barrage of, you know, uncertainty at this point. You know, we're just confused, and I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure, man. Our country is obviously in a very, very, very bad state. So
yourself and also and also myself, we are both African-American males here in America.
Exactly.
When you put in context what is taking place, not only in these two incidences, but I can go back to Trayvon Martin, I can bring up Michael Brown, I can go on and on and on. There are countless examples of African-American males and just African-Americans, period, treated unfairly by law enforcement and put in situations in which their lives, unfortunately, have been lost when it could have been a safe alternative to the situation. For you as a black male here here in America, Darius, how unsettling is it?
Very unsettling. It's, to me, man, it's like the most basic and menial means of even existing, almost. It's causing death. So we have, you know, the last case where, you know, the guy had CDs, you know what I'm saying? He was in the act of doing something that he does probably every single day. You know, they know him as the CD man, you know what I mean? Trayvon Martin, Skittles, you know, he didn't have a gun, he didn't have a weapon. You know, cigarillos, things like that, like the basic things that we do on a regular, everyday, I just can't conceive, like, what is really, you know what I mean, like, the reason why, you know, because, I mean, even just 10, 15 minutes ago, I was watching a video on, like, some type of media outlet where a white man had basically pointed his gun at, you know, the police officers. I think this happened today. And they shot him once, and he walked away from it. You know, he was able to get up and walk away, but they shoot to kill. And that worries me as a black man, because I don't know if I get stopped by the police officer as soon as I come out of here, who's to say that that won't be my last breath? You know what I mean? I don't know, man.
Now, this is a certainly a loaded question here, Darius, that no one has a foolproof answer to, but I'm gonna ask you to try and answer it. Why is this taking place?
It's really difficult to try to, like, I can draw assumptions, you know what I mean, based upon, obviously, our race, you know what I mean, based upon what people are, prejudices that people kind of think of us as soon as they see us. People are intimidated of black, like, I'm a 6'2 African-American male. I don't come from, you know, the best of the, you know, as far as community-wise, I don't come from the best of the best when it comes to standards of living. So my every day may not necessarily be that of, you know, that of my white counterparts. And it'll scare me because who's to say that they won't be intimidated just by my basic, like I said, the basic means of living. Who's to say that they won't be afraid of that? And then take that out on me, and then essentially I'm end up 6 feet under, you know, after some stupid altercation that could have been solved very easily. And it's very, like I said, very unsettling just because, you know, where is the, I guess, deselling of the situation? Where are you going to come as a law enforcing officer? You know, you're given this opportunity to protect and serve. Where is the protecting and serving? Because you're killing us off. And that scares me. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to have children. I have a little brother. He's 12 years old. Who's to say, you know what I mean, he's going to play in a park one day with a toy gun and he won't get murdered because he's seen as this African-American male delirious and not knowing what to do. You know what I'm saying? In his specific place and time. I don't know, man. I don't know what we're going to do as a people, you know, and that is unsettling, more or less.
It certainly is. Folks, if you are just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Darius Gregory, president of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the Zeta Delta chapter here on the campus of Michigan State University, on, of course, the topics of Alton Sterling and Philandro Castile, two African-American males who were gunned down mindlessly by law enforcement out in Louisiana and Minnesota, respectively. Again, we encourage you all out there, if you're listening, I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Darius, I want to go on to what you just stated in the last part of your answer in the previous question about what are we going to do as a people, as a whole. Well, of course, Alpha Phi Alpha, I was a former president of the chapter when I was a student here at Michigan State University, and there's an obligation to organizations like AFIA to affect change in these circumstances wherever they may be. So with us being here on the campus of Michigan State, can you tell us about what will be taking place tonight at 10 p.m. on the campus?
Yep. So to basically gain as much awareness as possible, our duty is, you know, to get our students out this evening at 10 p.m. We're placing a candlelight vigil for the two individuals that just lost their lives to this senseless act. Tonight at The Rock, like I said, we're going to all come together at 10 p.m. We're going to share a couple words of encouragement. Our job primarily is to get our students out and thinking about what resolutions can we make to literally change the course of history at this point, because we have to figure out some way to make a constructive and positive change. But we want to figure out why this is happening. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of our white counterparts here at Michigan State University, they don't necessarily understand the struggle that we have. And that's our job, is to, especially as a member of Alpha Phi Alpha, my job is to continue to press the issue. And push the envelope specifically on these injustices that take place every single day. One of the things that I was thinking about a couple days ago was, you know, there's not always someone with a camera. You know, right. There's not always someone with live footage of what's going on. And these type of injustices happen all the time, every day. I think I read something that, like, last night where it's like 114 black men were shot down and killed by police officers as of January of 2016, coming into July 7th of 2016. So 114 lives were lost, recorded, and you're going to add another one on top of that as of today. So it's every single day someone's dying, you know what I mean? And who's to say, you know, when am I going to have my, you know, my roundabout with it? And I think that's what we want to do, man. We want to encourage everybody to come out this evening and share some of their sentiments, obviously share some of their comments, concerns. And we're just going to gain together in solidarity to ensure that we can come up with some type of progressive and positive change and plan so that we can grow as a nation.
Now, is the event just for students, Darius, or can anyone
come? Anyone can come. We would love to have as many supporters as possible. Students obviously are encouraged because this is our campus. We want to be able to ensure that our students are equipped with the tools to deal with these type of issues. And the more that we can kind of press this issue, the more that we can kind of gain as much attention as possible in regards to this, the better off we'll be, in my opinion. So that's what we're doing.
Before we get you out of here, Darius, I want to read a glaring stat that I found on ProPublica analysis of FBI data. Black teens were 21 times as likely as white teens to be shot and killed by police between 2010 and 2012. I just want to let that sink in for all of our listeners out there. I mean, that's glaring stuff, ladies and gents. Darius, have you ever had a run-in with the law that was unfair at all? Have you ever experienced an unjust, unfair situation when it comes to yourself and local law enforcement?
Probably traffic signals, things like that are very simple. I feel like oftentimes when they come to the window and they see me, I kind of just have an already preconceived notion of what could happen, you know what I mean, based upon these type of instances. So my big thing is to keep my hand on the wheel and ensure that I let them know every movement that I make. But it's often times they're very aggressive, you know what I mean? They're very, very, very forward with when it comes to the task that they want me to do or complete. They want us to do everything and do it fast and, you know, and ensure that it's the way that they want it done. But in all honesty, I'm scared for my life every single time, you know, because I don't know what this police officer is thinking about me.
Because of what you've seen and what is taking place in situations like what we're talking about right now.
Exactly.
And I want to throw this out to you as well, because there are some good cops out there as well.
Exactly.
You know, there are some good law enforcement, and there are some, as you see in these past 2 days, that just don't get it. How big do you think the gap is between police officers and understanding African Americans?
I think that gap is nearly never ending. I think even growing up, the music that typically African Americans listen to, the life that we live, the media, the movies, the things that we do on a regular basis, it kind of perpetuates that cops aren't on our side. You know what I mean? And that's really the core of it all, is we already have this notion of we can't just call the cops to, you know, save, you know, whatever the issue is that we may have, or we can't have them resonate with us at any point in time, because it won't happen. That's just what we're kind of trained to think. And knowing that is kind of one of those things where it's like, that gap is going to be big until we figure out different ways to, I guess, bridge that gap. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I just feel like that's one of those things that we just already know, you know, that they're not on our side to even talk about, you know?
Well, I really hope that there are some local police in the area that will attend tonight's vigil. Again, for those out there listening, Darius, how can they attend tonight?
Yep. So 10 p.m. at the Rock, MSU Rock. We are holding a candlelight vigil to gain as much awareness as possible to this nationwide issue. We want for our students, faculty, and staff to collectively come together in solidarity and have a quick talk about the issue and share some thoughts, concerns, comments. There's going to be some poetry. And we're just going to, you know, express how we feel about this. And hopefully within that expression, we can come up with some form of resolution or some form of progressive act of moving forward as a people.
Absolutely love that. Darius, you knocked it out the park. Again, Darius Gregory, president of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the Zeta Delta chapter. Bruh, appreciate it.
Most definitely. 06.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with Throwback Thursday. And we'll also talk about Calvin Megatron Johnson struggling post his NFL career. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. If you are just now tuning in, you missed a really telling chat with Darius Gregory, the president of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the Zeta Delta chapter, concerning the two deaths of Philandro Castile and Alton Sterling. Sterling shot by police, which led to his death in Louisiana. And Castile, pretty much the same incident, man. I mean, just a mindless shooting after a traffic stop due to a busted taillight that occurred out in Minnesota yesterday. And I really couldn't believe it, Isaac. Like I said, I woke up today, man, and I went to a group message that a good friend of mine, like my best friend, man, like a brother to me, Will, he had sent in our GroupMe chat. And I clicked on it, and I was not prepared for what I saw. And it's we played the graphic audio from that video of Castile's girlfriend who was streaming the incident live. But I just could not believe that these last 2 days, we have seen just ridiculous incidences of law enforcement. Again, just think about that. Law enforcement. These are people that are enforcing the law and protecting and serving, doing quite the opposite, leading to the deaths of two African-American men who seem like pretty good people. So, again, call in 517-355-WKAR. We actually have someone on line one. We've got Tom from Lansing on line one. Tom, how you doing, my friend? Welcome to Current Sports.
Well, I was listening to the tail end of your conversation. Was it regarding an event, some kind of vigil or something that's going on today?
Yes.
Okay. My comment is, I'm really tired of the vigils. I'm tired of the protests. I'm tired of saying this isn't right. It's just gotten ridiculous. I have an 18-year-old African-American son, and I gave him the talk after Trayvon Martin, and all we're seeing is more Trayvon Martins over and over again. I think that the adjustments need to be made to the police department. They're hiring people with, these aren't college grads. These are basically high school jocks that want to be tough guys, and they go into the police department. You know, God bless them for the job they're doing. But all these people getting killed by the police, it's way past the time for rallies and protests. And I'm really scared for the future of America. I've already told my son to learn a foreign language, and then stuff happens in America and this stuff boils over, I'm sending him out of the country.
Tom, you just took the words out of my mouth. It seems as though we've had so many protests, we've had so many vigils, we've had so many local rallies, and when we continue to see the same thing happen over and over, the problem is within the police departments. And what I believe is, I believe that police officers, the good ones, are not holding the bad apples accountable for what they are doing that is clearly wrong and unethical. And there's a systematic problem in place where those within law enforcement don't want to challenge those who aren't doing it the right way. And until that problem gets solved, it's continually going to be a problem.
I would agree with you to that extent, because how can the police expect the citizens to obey the law when the police don't obey the law, when they see their coworkers planting guns or doing things out of proper procedure, and then they cover up for them?
Yeah.
How do the police expect us to address that? So I think that, many African Americans should be in fear of the police because of what we're seeing. If you do what they say, you get shot. If you don't do what they say, you get shot. I told my son, and I'll end with this, is that in America, you can get shot for a thought. You can get killed for a thought. And that is, well, I thought he had a gun. I thought he made a move. I thought he looked at me mean and I had to shoot him. I mean, with African Americans in America placed in a position where there's nothing they can do to not get shot because somebody had a bad day or somebody had a bad experience or somebody isn't right. But this is a life and death situation. there's been a lot of negative response to the Black Lives Matters, and my opinion is that they get carried away sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when I saw Eric Gardner choke to death on camera in front of my eyes, and they said, no, he wasn't choked, he wasn't killed, it was something else that happened, that in my mind shows that Black Lives don't matter. When somebody can be killed right in front of your eyes, and they say, oh, well, it was okay. Every procedure was followed, there was no problems, everything was right. Where does that leave you as a parent of an African-American kid? Where nothing you can tell them can prevent them from getting killed and the police getting away from it. I view it as a modern-day form of slavery, where in the old days you would buy a black slave for $1,000 to $2,000. Now they can kill a black person, and okay, your family gets a million, your family gets a couple of grand. There's no end to it. I'm extremely disappointed in the way things are going. And I'm an ex-military man. My father was an ex-military man. You know, it's been all this whole red, white, and blue stuff. Obey the law, follow the rules, and you can get killed for obeying instructions from a police officer because that's the way it is. And I'm so very disappointed in it. And I appreciate you allowing me to vent because I'm so disappointed in America right now.
No, Tom, we really appreciate you calling in and voicing your concerns and voicing those candid thoughts. Tom, thank you so much for calling in today. Yeah. Isaac, it's one of those things, dude, where I'm a young African-American male out here, man, and whenever I see a story like this, and in the span of 2 days, we've seen this, I tell you what, man, I'm scared, dude. I'm not even going to hold you up, man. I had a conversation with a frat brother of mine when I was driving in today, and, you know, we were just kind of talking about it, and it's like, dude, every time we get pulled over, it could be the smallest thing. My heart's beating, dude. I'm sweating now. So, again, folks, we encourage you all to call in. We encourage you all to weigh in via social media, facebook.com/currentsports, also via Twitter at Al Martin, WKAR. Final thoughts, Isaac.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad week. There's not too much more to say than that. As a white guy, a white man, I mean, white encourages. This is an issue everyone needs to care about. And it's not something that you can be passive about because it's a constant issue and a crisis right now in our society. I'm not saying that you need to believe in every single thing you hear, every example, but you need to get involved and state what you believe. I personally believe that one big problem, like Tom said, is police oftentimes just have pent-up anger and they can be racist. I can tell you from my neck of the woods, from Louisiana, there are plenty of racist police officers, and that's a problem. I think they should go through a similar screening process like juries have to or like military officers have to. That's just my opinion, and, you know, I know you and I will talk about it more after the show as well.
Oh, certainly, certainly. But unfortunately, we are out of time, and I want to give a special thanks to Darius Gregory, president of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Again, that kind of light vigil for the deaths of Alton Sterling and Philandro Castile takes place tonight at 10 p.m. at The Rock on the campus of Michigan State University. Same time, same place tomorrow, folks. Take care and be easy, people.